Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you, Lord, before your precious people and in your sanctuary. And now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you right now, and it's an honor and a privilege to speak to thy people. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak out of me, Lord, today. Not out of myself, but you speak. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I know who I am. So therefore, Lord, I take dominion and authority over demonic spirits and demons and wicked spirits in high places right now. And I bind them right now, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, that in their hearing, that the ears would be open, that the ears of their mind would be open, that their eyes would see, and that their hearts would hear, Lord, what thy word says in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I was asked earlier about a title. It actually would be different titles. One of them is definitely pretty much the battle of the mind. The other one is about who we are. And the other one is about our adversary. When I got born in church, there used to be a time when the church is taught about your adversary. They used to talk to you about the devil. We're not here to glorify the devil, but we're not also not to be unwise of his devices. And, you know, a lot of times as we go on in life, we sometimes, you know, even though we hear the word demons and devils, sometimes we act as though there is no demons or devils. And I've been seeing that going on in churches lately. You know, there are churches that says that there is no devil, there's no hell, but they believe in Christ. They believe in God, but they don't believe that we have an adversary. But in Ephesians chapter 6, the 14th verse, it says, in verse 10, it says, "Follow my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power's might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavens. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and have shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all things, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful in this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." This is a scripture that's probably familiar with most of us. We probably have heard it before. We probably have all heard it preached before. But I just want to share that when I was 11 years old, I did not know who Christ was. And in my early years, when I was young and as I was became a Christian, I used to see demonic spirits with the naked eye. Some of us have read about demonic spirits. We have heard people talk about demonic spirits, but they haven't seen demonic spirits. And when I was 11 years old, that was the first time that I witnessed a demon-possessed dog. I was on my way to the gym, and I saw a dog that was demon-possessed. And that was before I knew anything about Christ. And at that time, when I was young, later on, I began to see more things, didn't know why, but I was on my way to a gym, and I saw this dog that had blood red eyes, that had a goatee. He had fangs that were sharper than a shark. And this dog was so black, I can't even describe the blackness. And he looked at me, and I paused, and I stopped in my tracks. And even though I was a kid, I knew that something was wicked, something was wrong, something was not right. And then as I became older and became 17 years old, I had some Satanist people come to my apartment, because I pretty much left home at 15. And, they were doing a little chants, holding hands, all this kind of stuff. And just like we feel the Holy Spirit, Satan has a certain presence, a certain type of power that you can feel. And I began to do that. And then I went into the Navy at 17 years old. And I was sitting there by myself one day, just sitting there, and I witnessed a spirit come walking through the wall. I still didn't know Christ, wasn't raised in the church, but we're not here to glorify the devil, but we need to talk about these things because we go on through our lives and we let the devil beat us up in our mind. We let him beat up us in our lives. And we have to take authority over the enemy. We have to know that they never sleep or slumber. They don't sleep. We sleep. They don't sleep. They're active 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They don't have a physical body in which they get tired. They're active all the time. And I watched this hooded demonic spirit come walking through the wall. And when it came in, I felt this presence, this wind, but it wasn't like the wind of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And I was trying to get up and walk away, and I couldn't walk away. It wouldn't look at me, but I could see the hands, and I could see the black hooded cape that it had on. And I'm in the Navy at the time, 17 years old, and I'm sitting there by myself, and I'm trying to get up. And I felt an evil presence, an evil that I cannot describe. And the only thing I could say at the time was, Jesus, God, help me. Then when I married my wife in 1974, I was telling her some things, and she didn't know what I was talking about. She would go to work, and I would be laying in the bed, and I would have a spirit come up and wrestle and fight with me. And we're not going to stay on this. We're going to talk about God. We're going to talk about who we are. But we're building a foundation here. And I used to wrestle with this thing, this hideous thing, but it wasn't me that was fighting it. I'm wrestling it, I'm tugging with it, I'm hitting it, but I'm wrestling with it. And it did not prevail. I don't see these things anymore, but there was a time when the Lord allowed me to see them. And me and my wife, we were praying one day in the bedroom in Denver, Colorado. And I felt the presence of something, and I got up. I walked over by the door. I saw two images standing by the door. They weren't as big as some of the ones I was wrestling, but they were two small ones, and they were at the door. And as I approached them, because I'm like, I'm coming after you. We're supposed to storm the gates of hell. Ah, sikere lobo, koto, randere basia. And as I walked up to them to cast them out, I felt invisible hands around my neck, choking me. And it was trying to keep me from saying the word, pleading the blood of Jesus. And then they prayed them out. The other incident, the last incident, and there was many others, and we're not going to go through all those, but the last incident, I was working for a company at the time, Rescue Rooter. In 1979, 1980, I was going to all these different houses. And, normally if you're a serviceman, back in those days, a lot more women were still living at homes and with housewives or something like that. And every single house I went to that night, every single woman tried to seduce me. It was a demonic spirit. Every single woman. And the last person I resisted, they grabbed me out in the backyard. I left my tools and I left. I went home that night, went to bed, and I was not asleep. I had a spirit come through the wall, and it was transparent. I could see its eyes, but the body was totally transparent. And I was wrestling with that spirit, and it seemed like I was wrestling with that spirit all night. And at the end of the night, I told that spirit, I says, let it be known to you, I says, that God is able. Finally, the spirit got up, and it walked away. In the dictionary, there's a term for it called succubus. It's a spirit that jumps on, that takes on the form of a woman. And you got an incubus that takes on a form of a man. And there are women out there sometimes realize, wondering why they can't resist certain men or guys resist certain women. It's a demonic sexual spirit. And I had to cast that thing out of my apartment that night. And it never came back again. Satan is real. We have to have on the breastplate of righteousness that covers our chest. We got to have on the helmet of salvation. In war, you don't go into battle without your helmet. During the ancient Israel times, the Roman times, you don't go into battle without your breastplate, because that guards your chest from spears and arrows. The most vulnerable place that you have is your head. And then you have your shield. And then you have a sword. What I am witnessing today is that a lot of times we're putting up our shield of faith and we're standing like this and we're only reflecting the devil. And we're doing this, but we're bagging up. Devil doesn't care about that. The fate bothers him, but it talks about a sword. It talks about a sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You got to pull out your sword, and while you have your faith up here, you got to go into the devil's territory with that sword. And you got to start chopping him. Okay? We as Christians are not here to take prisoners. The reason why that God told the children of Israel to go in and kill the men, the women, and the children, the oxen, it wasn't because that he was an unjust God. It's because God said in the book of Peter, he said that I would none would suffer, but all would come unto repentance. There's not a single nation or tongue that God has not came to and gave them a chance. Some of them even knew of God. They even knew of the power of the tabernacle when the Philistines returned it back, you know, to the Israelites. They returned it back because they were fearful of the God of Israel. There are people out there that just flat out don't want to serve God, even though they know that he's God. So when he went in, he told the children of Israel, spare no one. Because he said, if you don't, they will be a snare unto you. We as Christians can't sit here and reflect the devil. We cannot go in there without our helmet of salvation. We cannot go in there without our feet being shod with the perspiration of the gospel. We have to go in fully, and we got to cut his head off. Because he's never going to leave you alone. Never going to. Jesus. Bear with me. Because let God put this in the order that he wants to put it in. Job. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the book of Job, the sixth chapter, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro the earth and from walking back and forth in it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? One thing we can learn from this text automatically is that God allowed him to come among the sons of the angels. That's what they really were. He allowed. God gives Satan limited power. His power is only limited. His abilities are only limited. But it's us that limited the power of God in our lives. Daniel prayed 21 days to the Lord. But an angel was fighting with the enemy and said, I heard your prayers 21 days ago. But Satan held up his prayer. Or we could say that we hold up our own prayer. A lot of times we're praying to God about something, and God hears every prayer that we pray. He hears our prayer. But what happens is, during the preset of time, is that while we're waiting on our prayer, God knows whether or not we have faith in that prayer, or the devil watches our actions to see whether we have faith in our prayer. And then when that prayer is not answered, then we become offended. Instead of accusing the devil, a lot of times we accuse God. We accuse him. We have to know that when we pray, that we believe, that we receive, and that God is faithful and that he hears our prayer. And we not only do we have to have our hearts right, because God sees our heart, but we also have to walk in a type of manner where the devil can see that this person believes in their prayer, they have faith in what God says, and there is no turning. Because God will give an answer to the prayer. We can be saved and not even necessarily, we can love God. I found we can love God, we can love the Word. But loving God and loving the Word don't necessarily mean that we know God. You're born again, you're saved, but you might not know God. And the devil can work in a person who loves God, and knows the Word, but they don't know him. There's no personal relationship with him. But they love God, they're saved, they come to church, and they love God. Job, the Bible says, what did it say? It says that he was an upright man. Very upright. And he feared God. God knew his heart. And God allowed Satan to torment him. At the end of the book, God never even given Job a reason why it happened. He doesn't have to. He's God. He never spoke to Job and said, this is the reason why you suffered. This is the reason why that happened. He didn't give him an explanation, because he's God. But Job did have, in the end, even though he was faithful and just and prayed, he had a fear of God. But I will show you in Job chapter 42. Go to Job chapter 42. The fifth verse. Well, it started at the fourth verse. Job chapter 42, fourth verse, excuse me. It says, listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. Job said, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Job was saying that everything that I heard about you came only from the hearing of the ear. I've heard people talk about you and testify about you, but now I see you. That see you is that now that relationship that he's having with the Father now. But during all that time that he was being blessed and praying for his sons and daughters and giving sacrifices and all that, he had a knowledge of God. He loved God. He feared God. He was in the Word of God. But he did not know God and did not have a personal relationship. And he was blessed, and God blessed him. He was a wealthy man in the land. But he says here, I heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now in my eyes see you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. When I first got saved 42 years ago, I loved God. I prayed. I went to church. I sang songs. I went out and witnessed, but I did not have the personal knowledge and the personal relationship that I have now. And it puts us in a danger zone because he, you know, knew that he didn't do anything wrong when his seven sons were killed, when his three daughters was killed, when he lost his sheep, when he lost his oxen, when he lost his rams, when he lost his donkeys. He knew that he didn't do anything. But in so, he was still self-righteous because at the end, he was justifying himself for saying, I didn't do anything. I didn't sin. I've kept myself true. I've walked in righteousness. Well, he did. But it still was a heart condition that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not upon the earth, a person upon the earth. The Bible says, I believe in Proverbs, I believe in one of the books, it says that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So God allowed the devil to tempt him in order to bring him to a higher level. God never puts us through trials and tribulations to make us fail. But he puts us through trials and tribulations to make us strong, to build up our faith. When we first got saved, me and my wife, next thing I know that, I was this guy that been wearing a shaved head a long time, but back in those days, I had muscles on my eyebrows. They were like, poop, they were popping, I was walking around like this. I was like this when I first went in the church. When I first got out, I was sitting there, these arms, poop, 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 just sitting there, looking around. Got saved, and the people at the job, I was such a crazy guy that they were afraid to fire me, but I wasn't doing anything. I just looked scary, and people used to tell me, you look mean, I look scary, I don't know why. But the minute I got saved, all of a sudden I became sweet and kind and all this kind of stuff. And next thing I know, I got paid. I'm just freshly saved. And, Satan likes destroying babes within the first 5 years of salvation. He likes destroying you. And went to 7-Eleven. Went in there and bought something. $570 disappeared. Poof. My money's gone. Go to work. I go into work. I walk up and they tell me, you're fired. So I move into a little room in the upper church. A week later, they came along, and tow truck come along, and they repossessed my car that only had a couple months. It's gone. All that happened in a little short time. That's the devil. But he was trying to steal the word that was in my heart. He was trying to do the same thing that he did to Job, curse God and die. That's what his wife told him, curse God and die. He was trying to get him to move off his integrity. He was trying to get him to move off his faith in God. And if he would have moved off what God had for him, he would have never received all that he had. I mean, at the end of his story, we have all read that, my goodness, he held his integrity. He did not curse God. He learned some humility. He's got a little bit of self-righteousness off, and God loved him because God said he was a just man. And then God gave what? Gave him four. And when he God finally restored him, he made his friends that talked bad about him. They gave him silver. They gave him gold. He received 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. And then it says he also had 7 sons, 3 daughters. And it says, in all the land there was found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job. And their fathers gave them an inheritance among their brothers. And after that, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. And Job did what? Job died old and full of days. The Bible says that tells us not to, God, what is that scripture? You know, we're not to draw back. It says, what is it? For we shall reap in due season. Say that scripture for me, baby. Yeah, reap in due season. I normally know that scripture, can't remember it. But, if you know, I have found that a lot of times, while we're fighting the devil, because it is a battlefield of the mind, and he's constantly, constantly talking to all of us all the time. And I found out that if you endure, you do reap in due season. But it says, if you faint not. If Job would have fainted, he would have never been restored, had the restoration that he had, if he allowed the devil to get under his skin. Because look, I mean, none of us has lost 7 sons, 3 daughters, lost all your possessions, and you're sitting down with boils on your skin, sitting in ashes, and your wife walks up to you and say, curse God and die. None of us have ever gone through that. The thing is, I'm just going to ask the question, and let's be honest. How many of us, and I'm not going to raise my hand because I know, how many of us read our Bible every day? I don't read it every day. That's good. How many of us pray every day? I know that when I'm in the Bible, on a daily basis, I know that the devil has no way of entering into my thoughts. I know that when I get up and worship and praise God, I know that my day goes really, really good. There's a passage of scripture that says, those who keep their minds on me, I shall keep them in perfect peace. I had not always was in peace, but I can truly say that I don't know about tomorrow. I can't see tomorrow, for the Bible says take no thought for tomorrow. But I know that my mind has been at peace because I'm constantly thinking about him all the time. I got him constantly on my mind. I'm not saying that tomorrow that I will not have any fear, but I can say that for a long time I haven't had no fear. I can say that I've been getting up with joy, and everybody asks me, how you doing? I've been saying, great. That because I'm meditating on the goodness of God and praising God for the good things that He's already done for me. I don't want to start praising God or trying to give God glory when everything goes wrong. I want to give Him glory and praise right now. So that when I go through the bad things, I'm still giving Him glory and praises right now. It's easy to give. Anybody can. Let's see, how's it go, Lord? Help me, Jesus. True worship is when you can worship God whether the condition is good or not. Anybody can give praise and hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, when everything's going good. But I've learned to give praise, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, when everything is going bad. And it's been a long time since something has gone bad in my life. And, you know, but I do like to double the calm and rough things a bit because it keeps things in perspective. I like fighting against him. Sec here. Thank you, Jesus. You know, in Matthew 27:3, and that talks about Judas. Judas sold the Lord out for 30 pieces of silver. And then later on he had remorse and regretted what he did. And he hung himself. But what he did was he allowed Satan to enter in and speak to the contents of his mind and the contents of his soul. He allowed him in. He walked 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he turned around and he allowed Satan to enter in. I've seen Christians that have walked with the Lord for many, many years and they have allowed Satan to enter in. Or they go back out to the world and start drinking, committing whatever they do, but they allowed Satan to enter in. They didn't keep themselves in front of the Lord. They didn't keep a helmet of salvation. They didn't keep a righteous breastplate. They went right back out. And he did not listen at that particular point of time in his life. He did not listen to what Jesus taught him for over 3 years. He let Satan enter into his heart. Sad state of affairs. Let Satan enter in. I'm not going to mention names. I know a minister that I really admired a whole lot, and he was pretty much known around the United States and around the world, and I still got some of his tapes because during the time of his walking with the Lord and the anointing that he was walking with was a great man of God. But now he's gone and, you know, left the Lord and started a church. And I'm not going to tell you where it's at. It's not in this state. And he's ordained in lesbians and homosexuals and doing all kinds of stuff. Things that I was just shocked about. You know, he allowed Satan to enter into his heart. We have to be careful. You know, I was looking at, and I hope none of this is boring, y'all, but I was looking at reading about a particular man And they're in the world, just to give you an idea of how Satan works. And y'all are going to say, wow, I wish I had that problem. He was on there fearful, because Satan brings fear. He's the author of fear. And he was talking about whether or not he was going to be able to retire. And I just sort of shook my head and said, what? Really? This is how his story goes. I mean, Satan is talking to his mind, because we know out in the world, Satan talks to your mind. He talks to us. He said, I am making $300,000 a year. I got $2.5 million in the bank. I own several houses. My cars are paid for. I have no debt. I'm 42 years old, and I'm fearful that I'm not going to be able to retire. That's the devil. That's the devil talking to him. And I was like, really? But the devil got him living in fear. And I'm not saying put your trust in uncertain riches. That's not what I'm saying. But none of us would see that position as a position of not retiring. Satan makes us think some really, really crazy things. You know, like, I used to get angry when people would drive around me and speed with their cars and cut me off and all that. And I said, wait a minute. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against wicked spirits in high places. That person is driving fast, and they're thinking that they're thinking in their own mind. They think that they're doing their own thing, and they're being driven by a demonic spirit and don't know it. I mean, when I was out there, I did some things. I was young. I left home at 15, and you know, I didn't think about it now, and I'm ashamed of the things that I've done. But, you know, when I was out there, you know, selling drugs from time to time, I didn't think there was nothing wrong. You know, I was like, this is me. No, it wasn't. It was the enemy. You know, when I was out there stealing a few cars, I thought, you know, that was cool. Hey, they don't need it. You know, I'm not proud of none of these things. You know, I'd go over by a neighbor's house, I'll see a bike. Ooh, that's mine. That belongs to me. You know, that was my bike. Didn't think about it. Went to the library if I wanted a book. That's my book. I'll take that book home. You know, when I was packing a gun right here and a knife down in my boot, I thought everything was perfectly fine. You know, and I'm just saying, I'm not proud of these things. I'm just letting you know where God has brought me from. When I did some burglary, no big deal. I was only taking what was mine. But that's what the devil was telling me. It belongs to you. It's not going to hurt them. They got plenty. They got plenty. We're being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we may prove that good and acceptable, oh Lord. It's a transformation. It's a transformation. Now, I'm going to go a different route here. The holies of holies. I'm going to talk about who we are. You know, under the Old Testament, you had the outer court, the inner court, and you had the holies of holies. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he didn't bring us to the outer court. He did not bring us to the inner court, but he brought us into the holies of holies. In other words, he called us kings and priests. He opened up the veil rent and he allowed us to come before his throne. Something that only the priest can do. The high priest. If you weren't a high priest, you couldn't go into the holies of holies. If you weren't a king like David or Saul before Saul sent, they had an anointing from God. The high priest had an anointing of God. And you had to go before all the priests, or you had to go to king in order to get your requests made or answered. God decided to let us in into the place of the holies of holies. And with all that, the devil is trying to tell us that we ain't nobody. Let me find this. You know, Melchizedek, in the book of Genesis, and I'm sure you all are aware of it, I think it's chapter 14. Don't go to sleep on me, Janine. No. I hear you. Thank you. I know that it says, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. That was Genesis 14, 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. And Melchizedek was called a king and priest. But I also noticed that in Peter, let me find Peter. What am I doing here? In Peter 2 and 9, is that First Peter? Oh, Peter 2 and 2 Peter 2 and 9, I believe. We'll see in a minute. I had a feeling I might not have enough time. Hold on here a minute. Maybe it is 1 Peter. I might be 1 Peter 2 and 9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Then if you go to Revelations 1 and 6, all these little papers falling out. Thank you, Jesus. And he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, Melchizedek was a king and priest. It talks about it in Peter 1 and 9, and now it talks about it in Revelations. Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, and God has made us kings and priests. Kings are people that have authority. Kings are people that have power. If they're a righteous king, they have righteous judgment. He's made us kings and priests. Priest has a particular audience with God. That's who we are, kings and priests. Satan knows that we're kings and priests. He knows that. We are royalty. We are the children of God. And we have to accept the fact that we're only passing through here. But we got a great work to do. We're kings and priests, which means that we have authority to move things, to accomplish things, to get things done, to overthrow things, to set things in order, because we're kings. We're priests, we have an audience with God, we have an anointing to get things done. I've been letting the devil know that I'm a king, I'm a priest, I'm the child of the king. And I'm at the point in my life now where I just refuse to want him to be in my head. Because we can keep him out of our head. Going somewhere with that. So just bear with me. Mark 16, is that right? I'll tell you, sometimes you start out on these things and you end up writing things down the wrong way. Oh yeah, here we go. Mark 16 and 16, it says, "And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Let's go someplace else here real quick. Ephesians 5 and 8. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to get through this. Thank you, Lord. Help me, Lord. Is that right? Oh, 5 and 18, I'm sorry. I believe. Golly, what is going on here? Is that right? Oh, yeah. It says, "And do not be drunk with wine, but in which is dispute, but be filled with the Spirit." Going somewhere with that. We're going to go back to Acts 1 and 19. Then I'm going to go from there. Thank you, Jesus. Be glad when my leg completely healed up, because I really like to shout and move around. If we are going to be able to walk in the Spirit and be able to accomplish the will of God and keep the devil out of our life, we're going to have everything that God has for us. And it says in Acts 1 and 19, it says, "As it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper coast, passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit who you believe?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him who came after him, that is on Christ." When they heard these things, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They were rebaptized. And then Paul had laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. When I first got saved, I was born again, but I wasn't filled with the Spirit. And without the Spirit, we're still God's children, without being born of the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, rather, and speaking in tongues. But we're not going to be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. We're not going to be able to necessarily cast out demons or lay hands on the sick. We're not going to have the Holy Spirit that's praying utterances that we cannot utter, because sometimes we pray, we don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit within us pray. We have to be born of the Spirit. The disciples, before they took off and left, I mean, Jesus had them go out and do these things, but he says unto them, he says in Acts, the first chapter, fourth verse, he says, "Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem." Why? "But to wait from the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and not many days from now. Therefore, when they had came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father had put in his own authority. But what did he say? He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Jesus said, don't go. He says, wait until you are endued with power. Till they got to the second chapter of Acts, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully came, they were all with one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues of fire and sought upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In the book of John, he says, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. He says, but if I go away, the Comforter will come to you. And it says, and he will lead and guide you into all knowledge and into all truth. In my early saved life, here I am, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. But if I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of me, because he's with me all the time, if I'm not listening to him and allowing him to lead me, if I'm not praying, if I'm not reading my word, if I'm not presenting myself before God on a daily basis, then I could walk around with all this power bottled up on the inside and still not have any effect on anybody out there. Having all this power, the Holy Ghost, he's on the inside. You got all this authority, and we still can be letting Satan talk to our minds. I know saints that are depressed, they're sad, they're sick, they're angry, their husbands or wives or something. But if we're listening to the Holy Ghost, we will not take any offense. We're allowing the Holy Ghost to rule and abide in our lives. We won't take any offense, and we kick the devil out of our lives. You know, the churches became of non-effect is because they're not allowing the Holy Spirit work. I've never forgot when the Lord said that. He said, I've came to my own back in Colorado. He said, they received me not. He said, I knocked at the door and they won't let in. That's what he was telling my wife. He said, I'm knocking at the door. He said, I'm trying to come to my people and I'm knocking at the door. I died. I hung on the cross. I sacrificed my life. I love them. I filled them with the Holy Spirit. And yet I'm knocking at the door and they still will not let me in. And it's sad. It's true. It's sad. The Lord said something to me years ago that I never forgot, and I'm hanging on to it. I'm not going to let it go, because, you know, through the Holy Spirit, she was born. Benton was born 12 years. After we got married, Dodger was born another 5 years after married in faith. And if I would allow the devil to steal that, they probably wouldn't be here today. The Lord spoke something to me when I was yet in my 20s. You know, Abraham waited 100 years to get his son. You know, in 100 years, the devil was talking to him the whole time. And he said this. I don't know what all that means. I know what the fire means, but I was sitting back, and the Lord spoke, and He said, I'm raising up a man that will not compromise on the Word of God, and that with a sevenfold anointing, and that with fire. I get the fire. I'm not sure about the sevenfold anointing. But I don't want to bottle up the Holy Spirit that's in me. I want to be kinder, I want to be gentle, I want to love, and I want to see the power of God. In another 20 years, I'll be 86 years old. I don't want to waste those 86 years. Pastor was talking last Sunday, he said, I don't want to waste that time. I want to get that all that God has for me. I want to deny more to myself because, you know, the Holy Ghost is there to help us. But even some of the greatest men and women of God, they fight against the Holy Spirit. I want to be a better Christian, better husband, better father, better witness. And the only way that is going to happen, stinky's falling off, man. Is that I'm going to have to let the Holy Spirit reign fully and completely in me. You know, right now I feel like Job because I'm comfortable, I'm living real good. Finances have been real good. I'm able to pretty much buy what I want right now. My family's happy. They're getting things met. Things are getting done. But I told the Lord, I was up this morning at 4:30 in the morning and I was speaking to the Holy Spirit because sometimes we forget about the Holy Spirit that's in us and we ignore Him. And a lot of times, I talk to Him. I talk to Jesus. I talk to Father. But I talk to the Holy Spirit because I believe that the Holy Spirit is the absolute pure form of God. Because, you know, God is a title. Jesus is a title in salvation. God is in creation. But the Holy Spirit is God. I believe it's the spiritual form of Him dwelling in us bodily. And I talked to the Holy Spirit. And I get up and I trust Him. You know, I trust Him. It's coming. It may not seem like it. But if we want, we have to start praying and seeking God for the gifts and for the power. You know, we have to have a tenacity to go forward. We have to have a tenacity to storm behind the gates of hell. The Lord was speaking. He said, Marvin, you're going to go behind the gates of hell. In other words, I'm going into the enemy's territory. A lot of times we're standing without the door. But we have to have a tenacity to go into his territory. We have to have him screaming and running. Screaming and running. The children of Israel had nations screaming and running away from them. They were fearful. We have to have the devil fearful, screaming, and running to the point that when we see ourselves, we can see Peter, we can see Paul, we can see Mark, we can see Luke, we can see Abraham, we can see David. Saul was too busy looking at the size of the giant, which was 9'9", and looking at how tall and how he was, and they were all in the flesh, and they fled and ran. But when David approached Goliath, he saw the demonic spirit that was influencing. And he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defile the armies of the living God?" He said, "You come to me with a staff and a spear, but I come in the name of the Lord." He knew that he was coming after a demonic spirit, and he cut off his head, took it back to the camp, and he was a youth. He wasn't fearful. He knew that he killed a lion and a bear, and it was not by his power or by his might, but it was by the power of the Lord. When you get up here a lot of times preaching behind the pulpit, you feel like a giant. You feel like you can do anything when you're in the Spirit. The truth of the matter is you can. I just want to release, Father, in the name of Jesus, the power of God, and we come against every demonic spirit and activity. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind them. We take dominion. We take authority over them right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we crush them at the root. You made us kings and priests in the earth. With you is impossible, not with God, for with God all things are possible. Father, we thank you right now. We believe that this is the greatest day and time for the church has ever seen. And I thank you, Lord, that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. I thank you, Lord, that we have the ability and the power to change the nations. And we have to walk in the Spirit and we have to speak those things. We have to speak into the atmosphere. We have to talk into the atmosphere, and we have to do it daily. And I'm trying to get into it daily where we're doing it daily. We're going to have to pound at it like a wrecking ball. Keep beating at the doors of Satan the same way that he beats the society. In our public schools, we have them teaching kids that, you know, that if they say anything about homosexuality or anything like that, they're homophobic. They're actually beginning to teach reverse discrimination. They're trying to create racism. We had racism, but we have a day where the devil is creating racism, and they're telling white folks that they're evil and that they're privileged and all this kind of stuff, and they're actually trying to create, and we've came a long way from that. Just as one lady was saying on the internet today, and I said the same thing my daughter said, when you see a black kid and a white kid and an Asian kid playing, they don't see color. They don't see any of that. There was never supposed to be a separation of church and state. Israel was ran by God. He was the state. There was no separation between the government and the church. That was a lie that came into the United States, separated of church and state. There's not supposed to be a separation. If you separate the two, then you allow the devil to get into government. That's the reason why we had on the back of the dollar bill in God trust. That's why we had the Ten Commandments in every courtroom. That was the plan of the founding fathers. And I'm not here on a negative note. I'm here on a positive note. These things would not have happened if we were not watching and praying. These things would have not came to pass to the point that it is now. Used to be if you saw something on TV and the church called up and said something about it, it was removed. When I was still working before I retired, there was a bunch of Christians down there, and I was telling them about a lot of things about God, and they said, "Really? I was telling them about they can take authority over the devil. I was surprised how many people, Christians, that don't believe that they can take authority over the devil. You know? Or that they can have peace. Or I would tell them, you can have a personal, intimate relationship with him. And they were like, huh? And then they were wondering why that they were getting their brains beat out. Because they were, the Bible says that the letter killeth, but the spirit maketh alive. There was no life in the word. It wasn't coming off the pages. And I began to tell them, I said, unless the word of God comes off the pages, I said, what we're believing is in vain. I said, it must come off the pages. I said, it's a roadmap. It's written. It's just not written as a good story tell or just a part of history. I said, everything, I said, I believe. They said, do you believe everything in this Bible happened? Yes. Yes. I believe that everything in this Bible happened. You know, the Bible says that my sheep know my voice and they shall not hearken unto another. The pastor was about that. I was telling him that. I says, look, I said, what good is it for you to read something and you never hear the voice of God? What good is it going to do you? I said, one of the first things that, you know, I was planning on committing suicide, me and my wife. I was going to take my life. I said, God, listen, you reveal yourself unto me. I'm checking out. Devil's going to just have me kill myself. And then I began to look at the word, and I got to, you know, hearing about David talking to him, Moses talking to him, Abraham talking to him. You know, I got to hearing about all these people talking to God. I said, wait a minute. He talks to people. He talks to people. And, you know, the devil always going to tell you to do some bad things. And you will always know. The devil is never going to tell you to do anything that's going to line up with the Word of God. You know, God is always going to lead and guide you. He's a gentleman. He's going to lead. He's going to guide you. He's going to direct you. He's going to wrap you in his love. And then, of course, there's times when you get chastisement. But he's a father. He's got to correct his children. But he's a gentleman. He leads and guides and directs. Satan comes in like a dictator. He pushes, he dictates, he dominates, he takes control, he's pushy, he's arrogant. Where there is wickedness and hate, strife and bitterness and lying and cheating and putting each other down, that's the personality of Satan. I was telling the people, I said, don't you recognize the personality of Satan? I said, if it's not good, it's his personality. Do not walk in his personality. Time is going on. There's more of this, but I'm going to have to stop. Father, in the name of Jesus, and I just pray, Father, right now in thy precious name. Lord, it's a simple message, but I just pray, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, that would have been said, Lord, gets into the hearts and the mind of thy people, gets in the hearts of me. I got to be first partaker because, Lord, when we're up here, we're also preaching to ourselves. I just pray right now, Father, because you love us, you care for us, that you are gentle. You want us to be able to have our mind clothed all the time with you. You said, those who keep their minds on thee, you shall keep them in perfect peace. Father, right now, we just clothe our mind looking at you, Lord. Looking at you, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. We are here to give you all the glory. We are here to give you all the praise. We are here to give you all the honor. Because all the honor and the glory belongs unto you, Lord. We just thank and praise you, Lord, tonight. That we have nothing to fret. We have nothing to worry about. Because everything is under control. When we trust in you, Lord, you lead and guide and direct us in every place and every step. You see everything that we need. You know everything about us. So, Lord, we don't have to take the thought for tomorrow because you already have tomorrow taken care for us when we trust and believe in you and what you do. And we give you the glory and the praise in that in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if anybody needs any prayer for anything. I don't really see anybody out there that's not saved. I believe I know everybody here. So if anybody needs any prayer, or Janine, you want to have anything to say or anything? Okay. Recognizing.